The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's racing on this edition. And you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2:05pm with Gareth Topham, Rory Delaghi and Mark Slater in the studio. It's Aaron Wolverhampton on Monday afternoon, Thurskin Windsor in the evening. And there's also racing from Ireland from Ballinrobe, a mixed card there on Monday evening as well. So five meetings to look forward to, plenty to talk about. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Alistair Whitehouse-Jones. How are you, Ali?
Yeah, not bad, thank you, Mark.
Good. Right, we'll start with a quick look back at Saturday's action before we move on to Monday, because a busy old Saturday. And we'll start with the Shergar Cup at Ascot. Europe ended up winning it. The girls came very, very close. Yes, they did. Came very close. And despite Olivier Pellier getting the silver saddle, it was Emma Jane Wilson's day, really, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I think she turned a few heads, didn't she, with her performances. She looked really good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, she didn't really make the headlines going into the meeting, did she? But the South African chappy, old Samanga Kamalo, better known as Bling, was apparently the sort of the star attraction, and yet he had a bit of a nightmare, whereas Emma Jane Wilson looked thoroughly decent in the saddle and very strong in the finish.
Yeah.
Really, really impressed with her.
Yeah, she caught a few people's eye, didn't she?
I think so, yeah. She really did look the part, so fair play to her. I think she'll be back next year.
Mm.
I don't know about Bling, but I think she will. I mean, he looked okay on that. He rode 10 or didn't he, to second in the mile. But,
yeah.
You know, over the longer trips, he literally got run away with on Big Thunder in the 2-miler. And his ride on, the Dunlop horse, trip to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Just beggared belief. He's a horse that is, you know, has run two really good races at Ascot and held up both times. And yet, there he was, shot to the front, racing far too keenly. And lo and behold, finished last of 10. And that was purely down to jockey error.
Yeah.
So, but that's the risk you take.
It is,
in the Shergar Cup. I mean, Frankie Tesori in the first race, I expected Swan Song to go really well. A horse that needs to dominate. And yet, I looked up after 2 furlongs and there he was, stuck behind a wall of horses. I mean, I just got no run and I just thought, what the hell is he doing? And, you know, in a small field, it was tailor-made for the horse. And yet, you know, jockeys do my fruit in that instance where you just, you look at the race, you analyse it, you think, yeah, this is going to happen. And then the exact reverse occurs for no obvious reason. You know, and there's no way those horses were seen to best effect the way they were ridden. But there you go. That's a Shergar Cup for you. You know, you pay your money, you take your chance.
Yeah. And they can't get it right every time, Ali.
No, listen, I'm not a basher of jockeys at all. I fully appreciate races go, you know, don't pan out like clockwork. But in those instances, there was no excuse to do what they did.
Mm.
And if I was Andrew Balding, I'd have said, you know, bloody hell, Frankie, what were you doing?
Frankie finished bottom of the pile as well, didn't he?
Only yeah, 3 points. No wonder. And as for that ride on trip to Paris, it literally beggars belief. I mean, it's just, I'd like to have seen Ed Dunlop's face when he walks back. He, if it was me, I'd just said, you know, what are you playing at, man?
Yeah.
But there you go. Rant over.
Yeah, we'll leave that there.
I couldn't really give a monkey's bit who wins, could you? I mean, there are 6 races.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see the different jockeys in action. You know, I mean, you learn a lot about them. I mean, that South African chap, he wins everything out there, but he looked completely hopeless yesterday. So it was, you know, you live and learn, don't you? It's good to see these new jockeys. And last year we had Gary Stevens. This year we had that Emma Jane Watson who stole the show, you know, I mean, it's great. But as for a team competition.
Emma Jane Wilson.
What did I say?
Watson.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Yeah. I meant Wilson. but yeah, thanks for bringing me on that one.
Yeah.
But as a team competition, I, like many punters, couldn't really give two hoots who won in that respect. It's just a, you know, but I think it's a good, it's a breath of fresh air. Just don't bet on it. that's what I've learned.
Yeah, adds something different to the day, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely.
I suppose yesterday was probably up there with one of the better Chirgar Cups we've seen in
It's getting better. Yeah. It's that they are getting it right. And at the end of the day, had a full house there, introduced a lot of, you know, no doubt newcomers to racing. And if they enjoyed it, then they'll go back. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Moving on from that to some of the other results, we can go to, where should we go next? Haydock. Geoff Fanning had a pretty good day there and landed some decent prizes as well.
He did, for three different yards as well. Yeah. I mean, it's taken a while for the penny to drop, I guess. But, you know, Saturdays are, you know, where these jockeys really, the opportunity knocks, because all the big boys can't be in the same place and in more than one place at one time. And Joe Fanning is, you know, he just keeps things simple, doesn't he? On you know, and you very rarely see him lose a race that he should have won. And I thought yesterday he was outstanding on all those. I mean, on squats, I think he wanted to lead, but realised that Ryan Tate was going a yard too fast on Profitable and duly sat off him and picked him off in the closing stages. And on Amarella, you know, he nicked it. You know, there's no way that horse was the best horse in the race in that Group 3, Rose of Lancaster, but he won it purely because he, you know, he rode his peers to sleep.
Mm. It's kind of an obvious thing to say, but he reads the race very well, doesn't he? He knows where to sit in the race, and he rarely gets it wrong.
Absolutely, and on Token of Love as well. You know, yeah. he was just always in the right place at the right time. You normally say that about Ryan Moore, but Fanning was outstanding yesterday, and I think it typified everything that's good about him. Mm-hmm. That he just keeps it simple, you know, and no wonder, you know, these top trainers are using him.
Yeah, it's not a surprise. Also, at Newmarket, we saw the Sweet Solera Stakes go in the way of Murakaba, and apparently the plan with her is to aim towards Group 1 company now.
Yeah, that's a big step up from the Group 3. I mean, she was a bit disappointed at Ascot, but proved that form all wrong. I'm not sure that was the strongest of races. Alonzawa was just didn't run a race. Arabian Queen, you know, was a poor winner of the Cheveley Park, and, you know, I couldn't have that form as... I couldn't have her as a potential Group 1 winner.
Okay.
Myself. But I mean, she's won 2 out of 3. She's improving. Who knows? From a yard that, you know, that continue to improve them. So, you know, by all means, have a chance, have a crack at Group 1 level. But I'll be looking elsewhere, I think.
Okay. Anything else stand out to you on Saturday?
Well, that Marsh Hawk was really impressive in the maiden. Fadale, that was all the rage for that in the 2 o'clock maiden at Newmarket, and yet Marsh Hawk. I don't know, I thought James Doyle had thought he was riding a 6 furlong race and not a 7 furlong event, considering how fast they went off. But fair play to her, she ran right through the line, and that looked a really good performance. I think she could be going Group 1. I mean, it's a long way off from winning a maiden, but yeah. she looked a bit decent yesterday.
She looked all right, yeah. Bit of news before we move on. Qatar Racing have bought Pallasata. Big hope in the Ebor as well. They're splashing the cash still.
Yeah, buying everything. I don't like that. I mean, you know, obviously the owners of, if you like anybody would, if they get an offer they can't refuse, then you're going to sell, aren't you, and cash in. And here's a horse that might win the Ebor. I don't know what else it's going to win. I mean, it may be potential cup horse, I guess, but they've offered big money, clearly, and it's a no-brainer to accept it. But, I mean, you know, why are they buying everything? It's just as though they're just like kids in a candy shop, aren't they?
Yeah. If you can, why not?
I suppose, but, I mean, it's a bit boring, isn't it?
Yeah, well...
You know.
Maybe not for them.
Like kids in a candy shop. It's just a... Well, they're buying success, aren't they, I suppose? If you've got it, then why not? But, I mean, and if owners are willing to sell, then there's nothing to stop them doing it. But personally, I hope it doesn't win at York now. call me old-fashioned.
Yeah, don't want people to buy. So this is the old Chelsea debate from a few years ago, isn't it, where they started buying everyone and winning stuff.
It's, yeah.
Yes. Fair enough. And a bit of history on Monday as well. The first racing on the taffeta surface in the UK with Wolverhampton staging their first meeting.
Yeah, well, it couldn't be any worse, could it, from the surface they had last time.
No,
so
it
can only be a good thing. And it gives us a bit of variety, doesn't it? Away from Polytrack and Fibersound, we've now got it all.
Yeah.
So, fair play. Looking forward to it.
Good. Let's move on to Monday's action then. You've picked out 3 races for us. We'll get your thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, Monday's racing then. Two races at Ayr and a nice handicapped seller, selling handicap to finish with that first is what we're going to look at. Starting at Ayr in the 4 o'clock, this is a qualifier for the Scottish Mile Series final, and it's a class 5 handicap over a mile for 3-year-olds and older. A few of these come into this in winning form. Quite a competitive race here, Alistair. What do you like?
Yeah, the standout horse here, I think, is Ingleby Symphony, who... you don't have to look too far back to reflect on what good a form this horse is in now, because he won on Saturday night at the track and absolutely bolted up by 8 lengths. And if she turns out again, and I see no reason why she won't, then she's clearly well handicapped under a penalty. I mean, she won by 8 lengths, and I think George Challoner rode on Saturday as well. I mean, I bet Richard Fay had a couple of words with him, because he was 4 or 5 lengths clear, and I think he thought he was riding the winner of the Derby, and to win by quite so far, this horse is going to get absolutely slaughtered by the handicapper. So, you know, they've got to run on Monday. It is dropping back to a mile, which is a bit of a negative. Its last two runs have been over a mile and a quarter, finished second at Ponte before absolutely skipping home on Saturday night. But, I mean, to be honest, should have won over a mile on Saturday and with the penalty, and she didn't have a hard race. You know, she looked absolutely full of beans from pillar to post. And if turned out again, and unless there's some physical complication, then she's bound to run on Monday, and she'll take a lot of beating. Alpine Storm's an interesting horse, a Mark Johnston runner who did too much too soon last time. It looks a bit of a work in progress. Coming back to a mile, I think, is a good thing, but you know, there's a lot of rain about, and whether she's going to really be at her best on rain-softened ground, I'd have my worries. It shouldn't be an issue for Ingleby Symphony, and you'd expect her to follow up.
Okay, Ingleby Symphony then in the 4 o'clock at Ayr. The 5 o'clock is where we go next, and this is a class 6 handicap for 3-year-olds and older, over 5 furlongs, 13 of them in the lineup here, and I imagine we're going to get something like 72-4 on the field here.
Yeah, possibly. I think the favourite will be Saxonette, Linda Perrott. All her horses know Ayr well, know it inside out. She tends to, you know, seem to run there every week. This Saxonette is another horse that seems back in the groove. I thought she was a bit unlucky not to win here last time. She finished really well for third. Had she broke on better terms, then it could have been a different story. I think she's well handicapped at the minute, off a mark of 51. That was 2 weeks ago. The forecast rain won't be a concern for her, and she has got Superman riding as well, which is a good thing. Super Joe Fanning.
Yeah.
So plenty of positives. It's fairly competitive. It's not a great race. It's only in 0-65, I think, over 5 furlongs. And you know, you could run this race. If you'd run this race every day of the week, you'd probably get 3 or 4 different winners, but Saxonette would definitely be one of them. She'd definitely win it once if they ran it 5 times. Hopefully tomorrow will be the day.
Okay.
Just if you want to mention the bottom one as well, Autumn Tide, who, again, we've got a few horses running on Monday that ran on Saturday evening, and this horse made a successful debut for its Irish stable on Saturday night, did it nicely enough under this really good lad called Sean Corby, who isn't actually riding on Monday. So not only does she have the penalty to carry, but also his not the benefit of his £7 claim as well. So she's probably got to, you know, step up quite a bit on Saturday's run to threaten. But she's a horse, formerly with Sean Quinn, of course.
Yeah.
And is a horse that is clearly, you know, on the upgrade.
Okay. Well, the tongue tie for the first time on Saturday goes with the tongue tie and the hood this time.
And the hood, yeah. I mean, that's a bit bizarre, isn't it? But obviously, they had to declare, did they? Yeah, they had to declare Saturday morning before she ran Saturday night. So, you know. And she was easy to back the other day as well. So I think she
28-1, yeah.
Probably surprised them.
Okay, fair enough. But you're going to side with Saxonette.
I am indeed.
Yes. All right, to first we go for the 7:30, which is a selling handicap over a mile for 3-year-olds and older. And I must admit, when I'm looking through a card, a selling handicap isn't the race that I'm drawn to. So why have you picked this?
Well, that's just a cracking heat. I love these selling handicaps at Thirsk. And no quarter is a thoroughly exposed 7-year-old, it has to be said. But I think they found a good opportunity here. I mean, it puts this race into perspective when No Quarter has won only once in 3 years, and yet you can still make a case for it. And this is over a mile, and all his wins so far have been at seven as well, and he's, his record at a mile plus is 0-9, so you're probably thinking, what the hell am I going on about? But he does come here on the back of his best run yet this season, when third at Newcastle on good to soft. So the rain won't be a factor. And, you know, he finished well enough that day to believe that, you know, a mile round Thirsk as well, which is an easier track, is going to be well within his capabilities. This is a really modest contest. It's definitely a step down from the Newcastle race. And even though there are doubts about the mile, I think he'll get away with it, you know, in this company. So I think no quarter's quite interesting.
OK. Tracy Waggett stable has been in pretty good form as well.
Yes, I have, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm an avid fan of the Tracy Waggett yard, no. But I take on board what you say, yeah. As for dangers, who've we got? Uncle Bert has been running poorly, but the return to easier ground in this lower grade heightens interest in the Malcolm Jefferson horse, and he's back from 2 months off as well, so they might have just been waiting for a bit of juice underfoot. He could go well, but as might Mysterial, the top horse, but I think no quarter, it's his to lose.
Okay. Throwing Roses won this race last year as well and had no form going into it, similar to this year. Maybe he just likes this race, I don't know.
Possibly. I don't know if she's aware that it's the same race.
she targets it herself.
She's not had a lot of racing since winning it last year.
No.
But, I mean, Jesus, I mean, she's not beaten one horse this season, so you can back her, but I won't.
No, I was merely highlighting the fact that she won it last year.
Yeah.
Okay, good stuff. Let's just have a summary, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, okay, 4 o'clock air. I think we go with Ingleby Symphony, who can make it two wins at the track in 48 hours. Saxonette, slightly unlucky in when running at the track last time, 2 weeks ago. He's taken to go two places better in the 5 o'clock. And in the selling handicap over a mile at Thirsk, we go for no quarter.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Alistair. Enjoy it on Monday.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Alistair Whitehouse-Jones on Monday's racing. Then you'll hear it on Racing Radio from 2:05 PM. Gareth Topham, Rory Delaghi and Mark Slater will be our team in the studio. We have Aaron Wolverhampton on Monday afternoon, Thirsk and Windsor in the evening, and we'll also bring you some Irish racing from Ballinrobe on Monday evening as well. So 5 meetings to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.